Hello, my name is Leah Fiore Tracy, and this is Take Me to Eternity. Today I'm going to do a podcast that's not one of my favorites to do. I'm actually not really looking forward to it, but I really feel like it needs to be out there. You know, a lot of the stuff that I talk about are things that it's not fun to talk about, but it needs to be discussed. Today's podcast, I'm going to be talking about Dr. Michael Brown, and I know I'm going to probably make some people mad when I talk about this, but I hope you'll bear with me and you'll listen to why I say the things that I do. And while this does hit a lot of nerves for me, because it hits home, it really does, it makes me really upset when people misuse scripture blatantly and stand up and promote things that are completely unbiblical, or people who spread heresy and hurt the body. You know, they promote heretics and false teachers, wolves. I want to start with the fact that Dr. Michael Brown is highly intelligent. He's well versed in theology. He knows what to say. He knows how to debate and how to do it well. In some things, he's absolutely sound. He speaks out against a lot of cultural things that need more Christian voices speaking out against them. And he does it in a way that I don't know many people who could do it any better. This is precisely what makes him so dangerous. The people that are the most dangerous are the ones that can disguise themselves well, and the ones that speak truth and speak it well, and it helps pull people in and be deceived by them. They are the most dangerous wolves, my friends. The ones who can tell you the truth, who can know the truth, tell you the truth, and then promote lies, and those who are devouring people with their lies. He is masquerading as a truth teller. In scripture, we can see that the people that Jesus was the harshest to were the religious leaders. They're the ones that were leading the flocks and teaching people about God. The ones responsible for the souls of the people that are following them in some sense. They are going to be held to a higher account than any other. Dr. Michael Brown is an American radio host, author, apologist, activist, and proponent of Messianic Judaism, Christian Zionism, and the Charismatic Movement. His nationally syndicated radio show, The Line of Fire, airs throughout the United States. He contributes articles to the Christian news platform, The Stream, as well as the news site Town Hall, and serves as head of the Coalition of Conscience, a Christian organization in the Charlotte, North Carolina area. He holds a PhD in Near Eastern Languages and Literature from New York University. He is the president and professor of practical theology at Fire School of Ministry in Concord, North Carolina. He's also served as visiting professor of Old Testament at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in Illinois, visiting professor of Jewish apologetics at Fuller Theological Seminary, School of World Mission, as well as several other seminaries. He's really smart, highly intelligent, knows truth, articulates it well, debates really well, stands up for truth in a lot of circles. Unfortunately, you know, he stands up for some pretty rank people. And some of the stuff that he does and says is not excusable. The people he is friends with and he's promoting and he is endorsing, he does so with an arrogant and vicious attitude. These are people who are leading others to hell. Dr. Michael Brown is duplicitous. He teaches, promotes, and defends the NAR while denying the reality of the NAR, and you'll see that as we go. He's someone that shouldn't be listened to. If someone's to be a leader, they must be able to correct false teaching and teachers, and he has shown that he'd rather be buddies with false teachers than to call them out. Titus 1:7-11 says, "For the overseer must be above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, not fond of sordid gain, but hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, just, devout, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, who must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain." One of my arguments here is that he is not able to refute unsound doctrine, unbiblical teaching. He is not correcting, and he's not refuting those who contradict. And on top of that, he's not helping to silence the things that are false, the deceivers out there. This isn't a new issue. This is something that, as far back as I can find, he has been doing. And there is a reason that people call him the Doctor of Obfuscation. Dr. Michael Brown knows Greek, and he knows it well, and he is not afraid to tell people that he does. And yet he goes for things like Jewish tradition, instead of just looking at the text and reading it in context. He plays these games, acting like the Jewish tradition is something that needs to be brought in, when instead there is times where you can look at Jewish tradition to help understand things, as you'll see, that's not what he's doing. Matthew 7:21-23 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" There's a video, and a woman asks him explicitly what that verse means and if he can expound on it more. He said, "In Jewish tradition, 'I never knew you' could just mean you're excommunicating somebody," and explained that this was probably what Jesus meant. He said some people believe that it is talking about false followers, you know, people who act like they're following Christ, but they're not. But that's not what he believes that it meant. He said it probably isn't that. It probably means that it's people who were excommunicated. Yet, just a few verses before this, all you have to do is look at this in context, and it will tell you what it means. You know, I was taught to look at the verses around it to find the contextual meaning. And Matthew 7:15-20. So, the five verses right before what we just read. It says, "Beware of the false prophets." Who do you think it's talking about? "Beware of the false prophets, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits." Clearly, it's talking about people who are not followers of God trying to act like they are. People who are professing the name of God and trying to speak for Him, yet are not speaking truth. They're fakes, they're dupes. Those who never had a relationship with God, yet tried to profess that they did. This is simply one example, though. There's a reason people call him Doc Ops. He takes the truth and obscures it with nonsense. Whenever he's confronted with things that are taught in the NAR or by his friends, he tries to act like they couldn't be true or he would know. He consistently goes to his own interactions and experience over what Scripture says. And he talks about experience over the things that people are saying are wrong. He says that he knows the person, and they're very godly. Or someone he knows does. Someone he knows that person. And he vouches for the person as a godly man or woman instead of addressing the issue. He's been shown multiple times by various people issues with friends of his, and he won't address it. He sticks up for them, says it's not true, says he would know, says he doesn't know anything about something, or he acts like he doesn't have enough time to look into things. He'll say, I'll take care of it, and never addresses it. He has a million different excuses and ways to try and get around with the issues that are being dealt with, except for dealing with them. And he still promotes these people. And I'll get into who it is in a minute. The things that I'm talking about are in, people are writing in their own books. They're speaking at conferences. It's on videotape. It is on a host of different ways that you can find the information, and yet he explicitly denies it. He was part of the Brownsville Revival, not just a small part as he likes to make people think, but he was a leader in it. He was seen speaking there many times, as well as seeing him walk through the crowds, imparting some anointing on others, while yelling fire over and over again, or more Lord, over and over and over, just repeating himself over and over again. Later, after walking around yelling fire and imparting by touching people's heads, he says, you will find far more scripture for doing this than having a 1-hour service. Meaning he thinks there's more scripture that points to walking around screaming fire and more Lord at people and touching people's heads than going and hearing someone actually teach scripture. I would like to ask him for a book, chapter, and verse for that. I would really like to know where he finds the scripture that tells us that we should be walking around working people up into a frenzy, trying to play on their emotions, and telling them that something great is coming, and that you're going to anoint them for this great thing that is coming, and having them fall down in convulsions, start crying hysterically, start laughing hysterically. Where is this found in scripture that we should be doing this over, you know, teaching scripture? Everywhere the apostles went, actual scripture teaching happened. The book of Acts was not them working crowds into a frenzy, telling them that big things were going to happen while yelling fire in Jesus. This emotional frenzy is not seen in scripture anywhere. I couldn't help think as I was watching the videos of the verse that says, and when you're praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So don't be like them. Michael Brown is doing just that. I mean, he's walking around just repeating the same thing over and over and over again. He also prophesied falsely during the Brownsville Revival that there would be a great youth revival unlike anything that has ever been seen. He said it was right around the corner and was anointing people for it. He had all of the youth pastors or people who worked with youth come up to the front and their wives, and he was saying he was anointing them for this great thing that nobody's ever seen. How it's going to be so big, nobody's ever seen the likes of it, and that was going to happen. It was right around the corner, but this didn't happen. So he's a false prophet, amongst being a false teacher. In the Old Testament, he would have been stoned. And I mean, that's capital punishment in the Old Testament. And while we are under grace now, you know, I'm not saying to stone him, but at least don't listen to him. Don't find him valid and promote him and expect to get your biblical truth from somebody who is tainted with poison. There are videos of him in fire tunnels, and he says 90% of what people say about the weird stuff happening never happened, But the fire tunnels are part of the weird stuff. You know, when people are falling down laughing hysterically and writhing on the ground, and people are piled on top of each other, and you have to have somebody to catch the people as they fall, as you touch them. This isn't normal, and this is a problem. If you want to look up what that looked like in scripture, you can simply look at what the Bible says about those who are demon-possessed. And I know that this is going to upset people, and I'm not saying this to upset people. I'm saying this because the Bible is our place to find truth. The Bible tells us that we will be able to test every spirit by what the Bible says. That is our main plumb line as to what we can look at and say is good and right and true. And if it gives us everything that we need to know in order to test every spirit, and it shows us what it looks like to come under the power of the Holy Spirit, and what it looks like to come under the power of a satanic spirit, we should be able to look at that and be able to tell the difference. So, if the fruit of the Spirit contains joy and peace and self-control, then we can look at that and say, if you are completely out of control, then there's a problem. If people are screaming hysterically, if they're laughing hysterically, if there is convulsive things and twitching and these kriyas, which, you know, I've gotten into that in my podcast on the Kundalini, and I also got into that, I've gotten into that quite a few times with a false spirit in the church, but it looks just like what Hindus do, and I'll get into that more in a little while. But there's plenty of videos of the very things he's speaking against happening. And, I mean, you can't deny it when it's right in front of your face. And you can't say that he doesn't know any of these things that are happening, because they were happening around him. And it's happening with people that he is directly connected to. He's doing business with these people. And if he doesn't know, which I know he does, because people have brought this to his attention. He has already said it's been brought to his attention. But then he still acts like he doesn't know it. And this is part of the biggest problem, is the fact that there's a duplicitous speaking out of both sides of his mouth that he does. And it's really dangerous if somebody can disregard truth the way that he does and circumvent whatever it is that is an issue without dealing with it, and still promote these people. That's where the problem really, really lies, in that area. But there's other things too. You know, I already showed that he misuses scripture. So in this circle, they call being drunk in the spirit, high in the spirit, being hit by the spirit, or laughing in the spirit, these things that are happening. But, you know, which spirit makes you out of control? I'm pretty sure the fruit of the spirit, the Holy Spirit, involves self-control. And we're told to be sober-minded, so we're not going to act like we're drunk. But this looks just like the New Age and Hindu practices of Shaktipat. A guru walks around touching people on the forehead or on the top of the head, and people start laughing, they fall on the ground, they start babbling, or what people now call speaking in tongues, which I'm not saying speaking in tongues is not a thing, it's just not what people do these days. They're shaking and barking like dogs, or crowing like roosters, or twitching. Yes, this happens in the very circles that he's in, the people that he runs with, and I'll show you how big that is. These things are what he says never happened, but unfortunately for him, there's videos of it happening and accounts from leaders in the movement of these things happening in the same revival he was in, and it's a huge part of the revival he was in. There's a man who talks about, in one of the documentaries on the Brownsville Revival, about how he was their designated driver, because they would get so drunk in the spirit, it was like having two drunk parents in the back seat. And this was the son of John Kilpatrick, which was a huge part of the Brownsville Revival. there are different times where you can see John Kilpatrick and Michael Brown together, and you can see stuff like this happening with Michael Brown in the room. But this guy said he had to drag his dad to bed and dress him the next morning. That's how out of it he was. Rodney Howard Brown, the man who started the Brownsville Revival, called himself the Holy Spirit bartender. He would lay his hands on people, imparting on them an uncontrollable laughter or spiritual drunkenness. They would jerk, shake, or laugh uncontrollably, howling like wolves. If you haven't seen the second Kundalini in the Church video that I put up, I would check it out. This is what I'm talking about. He's one of the big Word of Faith prosperity preachers, yet Michael Brown says he was a great man and partnered with him in this so-called revival. And you know, Michael Brown has spoken out against a lot of the things that the people that I'm talking about have done, but he doesn't say anything against these people, and he calls them brothers, and he, you know, links arms with them and does all kinds of stuff with them, promoting them and making money with them or off of them. So, you know, we're not supposed to be linked up with false teachers. When these things are brought to his attention, a lot of times he just gets upset and starts talking about people who are hypercritics, and he doesn't actually address the issue. We're told that everything must be done in an orderly manner, and that God is not a God of confusion but of peace. And you know, the Bible even tells us that when speaking in tongues, we don't want more than a few people speaking in tongues at the same time. We want an interpreter, so that if somebody comes in, they're not going to think that everybody's crazy. And when you walk into a place like this, or you see the footage, the videos of what is happening, these people look insane. They look demon-possessed. That isn't what God would be doing. He is not going to cause confusion. You know, there's videos of people who can't remember who they are. They can't remember where they're from. They're people who are just violently shaking their heads while they're trying to talk. And that isn't what God does. We don't see that in Scripture being something that God would do. There are videos of several people at Brownsville Revival whose heads violently shaking, people convulsing. These things are being called manifestations of the Holy Spirit, yet we don't see things like this in Scripture by people who are under the Holy Spirit. We do see this in demonic possession, however. There was also a point in the Brownsville Revival where you hear the children in a back room wailing, and this is absolutely disturbing. The children, who they say are ages from 6 to 12, who have a live feed of everything going on in the main sanctuary, playing in the room that they're in. The kids were told to get on their faces before the Lord because something great was going to happen. And they started playing the wailing coming from that room over a loudspeaker, and, or, you know, over the speakers in the auditorium. And they're telling people, you know, we told these kids to get on their face before the Lord, and that this great move is happening, and this is what the kids are doing, and we need to get ready because there's going to be a great thing happening. And I mean, the fact that the children are bawling the way that they are, and it is being played so loudly in there, the only thing that they could be doing is trying to drum up an emotional reaction, and they're manufacturing something while they do that, and it is absolutely disturbing. I mean, there's no other reason to be playing that. It's really disturbing. Michael Brown said in an interview when asked, he tells people, "I don't care if you fall and shake, it's about how you walk when you leave this place." But when he's confronted on these things, he says they're not happening. And then he excuses them happening. So are they happening or are they not happening? You know, does he know about it? Does he not know about it? You can't have it both ways. After listening to him laugh at people when they bring up the NAR, act like he's clueless when people question him about it, and then adamantly argue that there's no such thing, you would think that he doesn't know what the NAR is. Yet, in a video on his channel, He says, and I quote, "Let me just alert you to a show we have planned for Monday with my friend Dr. Joe Matera. He has been around with the forming of what was known as the New Apostolic Reformation. He leads today the U.S. Council of Apostolic Leaders. I'm a member of that. There are hundreds of leaders from around America." He then tries to differentiate that organization from the NAR as a whole, but you can't do that. That's the foundation of what the NAR is. You can't both be a part of something, claim to be a part of something, and at the same time reject its existence. What he is saying is the New Apostolic Reformation, and he's denying is the New Apostolic Reformation, is what everybody is saying is the New Apostolic Reformation. They teach the same things, it's the same people, and it has the same leadership, it has the same criteria, that is the movement that everybody's talking about. And Dr. Michael Brown is an apostle in the New Apostolic Reformation. Just, we're just going to get that out of the way. If you go look at the USCAL website, you can find him as an apostle on their website. Joe Matera is the founder of the Matera Institute for Apostolic Leadership, as well as the convener of the USCAL National Council Members for the U.S. Coalition of Apostolic Leaders, as well as a member of it. He is literally the convening apostolic leader of the United States Coalition of Apostolic Leaders. I mean, he's part of the New Apostolic Reformation. I don't know what to say other than that. It was founded by C. Peter Wagner, and he's written several articles that confirm the existence of the NAR, as well as affirms what they teach. I mean, he affirms it. He says that that's what they teach. If you go on their site, it teaches what the New Apostolic Reformation teaches. And no, it's not a card-carrying membership. Yet Michael Brown goes to great lengths to deny the very things that Joe Matera, his friend, affirms to be true, and the things on the website affirms, the things that the website he's a part of, you know, I mean, Joe Matera is his friend. In the same conversation, you know, Michael Brown will say he knows nothing about the New Apostolic Reformation. He'll deny the fact that there is one, and then say he knows that there's issues with it. I mean, which one is it? Is there an NAR? Is there not an NAR? I mean, if there is one and there's issues, then you can't say there isn't one. I mean, it just gets so convoluted. He doesn't want to be honest about it. He doesn't want to be honest about his role in it. He doesn't want to be honest about the fact that his friends are a part of it, because it's very controversial, and he knows that there's huge issues with it. Biblically speaking, he's on a list of leaders, Michael Brown is, on the USCAL, United States Coalition of Apostolic Leaders website, because he's a member of the New Apostolic Reformation. He's an apostle. And then when pressed on it, says over and over again there's no such thing, and mocks and makes fun of people who say that there is a New Apostolic Reformation, and he calls them conspiracy theorists or hypercritics. C. Peter Wagner was a main leader in the New Apostolic Reformation, and he coined the term New Apostolic Reformation. He's written all kinds of stuff on it. He's not alive anymore, but he has written a lot on it. He's the one that coined the term, he's the one that laid the foundation, and with other people, but he was a huge player in that. Cheon, who was put in charge of C. Peter Wagner's ministry by C. Peter Wagner himself. Cheon and C. Peter Wagner, amongst others, commissioned people as apostles. There's a video of Dr. Michael Brown speaking with Cheon, whom he's friends with. In the video, Cheon tells Michael Brown God has called him to be an apostle and that he is an apostolic evangelist. And he asks him to make declarations and decrees. And Michael Brown just sits there smiling as he is being called an apostle by the one who commissions apostles. I've heard him say that he doesn't know anyone who would call themselves an apostle, yet many of the people that he is friends with do. I mean, it's normal for them to. Yet Michael Brown adamantly says there's no such thing as the NAR, and he doesn't know anyone who's a part of it or who would say they were a part of it. On the USCAL page, they talk about the New Apostolic Reformation. They define it and lay out the teachings of the New Apostolic Reformation. He has friends who have written extensively on it and has been a teacher at Wagner University. He's not dumb. He knows what he and his friends are a part of. His son-in-law has worked for Sid Roth and Kevin Zadi. His son-in-law, he says, is his best friend and vouches for both men. And you would think that he would call out his son-in-law and tell him the dangers, but he's friends with Kevin Zadi and he's friends with Sid Roth. Sid Roth is a snake oil salesman who peddles fake accounts of trips to heaven, teaches on his show that in order to learn how to speak in tongues, you first have to start with gagas and goo-goos, like a baby. That's what he says. On his show, It's Supernatural, he has person after person, and all you have to do is go look. Go look up who Sid Roth is, and Dr. Michael Brown is best friends with him, has been for decades, and adamantly just says that he is a person of God, that he is super godly, that he loves the Lord and his word, and, you know, he just really sticks up for him and promotes him. You know, he's been on his show multiple times now. And if you go look, you will see why that's such a big issue. They sell holy shawls, anointed music, and It's Supernatural healing cards. And you can't forget the Supernatural Bible. I mean, you know, everybody needs the Supernatural Bible. He sells it on his show, saying that it causes supernatural favor, salvation, emotional and physical healing, deliverance, divine protection, and financial miracles. That's right. Did you know that you could buy a Bible and that would cause all of those things? Sid Roth has had someone on his show that said when she plays her violin, it's so anointed that people age in reverse. This is the people he has on his show. This is who he's promoting. And in and in promoting Sid Roth, you're promoting him to have these people on his show. He also had Kevin Zadi saying that Jesus taught him how to play the saxophone, and they sell his anointed music. I've heard people ask Michael Brown about his association with Sid Roth, and Michael Brown tells them how godly of a man he is and how wrong it is that they even say Sid Roth is anything but a godly man. How dare you call him a charlatan when he is literally peddling holy shawls and anointed Bibles? Someone asked Michael Brown on Dr. Brown Answers Questions in 2010 about C. Peter Wagner's New Apostolic Reformation movement. Remember, it's 2010 when this was asked. And they asked if it was a false movement or if it was a legitimate and biblical movement. He said he had taught at Wagner's Leadership Institute on Revival years before that. He said that he has fellowshipped and talked to C. Peter Wagner about theological issues and has not seen any issues with him. He said he knows the New Apostolic Reformation is one of the main controversial things associated with C. Peter Wagner. And then he makes a case for apostles today, as well as he even explains some of the dangers that he sees of the New Apostolic Reformation. Makes sense, you know, he is part of the New Apostolic Reformation. Fast forward to the last few years, where he denies working alongside C. Peter Wagner, and he claims he doesn't know anyone who calls themselves apostle or anything about the New Apostolic Reformation, but he's an apostle. He's been called it on TV. His friends are apostles. They write about being apostles. And two things can't be simultaneously true. Like, you can't have one and the other at the same time. Michael Brown speaks out of both sides of his mouth. It just depends on who he's talking to as to what he's going to say. He knows the truth and he can speak it very well. He's highly intelligent and that is what makes it so dangerous. Yet he promotes unbiblical practices and fights for false teachers and wolves. Michael Brown, this disturbed me. You know, in doing research, you see the things that people do, and you can see where some things can be excused or how things could be done a certain way. But this one really just disturbed me. Michael Brown wrote the foreword to and endorsed a book by Kevin Zadi titled The Mystery of the Power Words, and it's all about power words. Kevin Zadi is a false teacher. I mean, you want to look into him, go look into him. He's a false teacher who's said to have had many encounters with Jesus, like face to face, going to heaven, sitting down and talking to Jesus. Jesus tells him things. He taught him how to play the saxophone. Just very personal. In the book that Michael Brown endorsed, giving his mark of approval, Kevin Zadi says, and I quote, "Jesus told me that the Holy Spirit was waiting to resurrect him, and Jesus started to choke up when he told me this. He said, 'Kevin, I had to relinquish my communication with the Father, and the Holy Spirit didn't go with me to the belly of the earth.' He said, I had to go to the deepest part of hell where the vilest person would go, and I had to go down there to redeem that place. Jesus said, and I quote, 'It did not just end at the cross.'" That's heretical right there. And when asked about it, Michael Brown knew it was there. This is absolute heresy. Jesus said it's finished on the cross for a reason, because it was finished on the cross. Kevin Zadi then says that Jesus told him that Jesus spent hours in hell, and that he had no feeling or communication with the Father or the Spirit while he was down there. Jesus told him that he had to recite the Psalms to himself over and over again because he was so upset. Michael Brown said he put a note that his excuse for it being okay, that he endorsed a book with heresy, which he said was heresy, he knew was heresy, when he was when he was confronted with it, I know it's heresy. He said, he put a note saying everything needs to be tested by scripture. But he knows it's heresy. Why would he promote and why would he endorse and promote a book that has heresy in it? He literally endorsed a book with heresy. He knows that it's heretical, and he has no problem putting his name on it anyway. That shows who Dr. Michael Brown is. That exactly shows who he is and the standards by which he operates. How do you follow somebody and take any advice from or find any biblical truth from somebody who has that low of a standard for truth? There's videos of him defending Kenneth Copeland. He says that he preaches the gospel and teaches the gospel, and that he is a brother in Christ. And if you can't rebuke somebody who's spreading heresy, if you can't rebuke Kenneth Copeland, then you have no place teaching the word of God in a manner that he does. As I've said before, an overseer must be able to both exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. He promotes and defends Smith Wigglesworth, who, amongst other things, is known for throwing a 2-month-old baby against a wall and kicking it like a soccer ball to heal it, quote unquote. He says he knows that some people did some questionable things, but it doesn't change the good that they did. That's what Michael Brown said when confronted about promoting Smith Wigglesworth. Yeah, I know he does wrong. You know, I know he did some bad things, but that doesn't change the good that he did. Pretty sure it does. We are known by our fruit. Matthew 12:33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. The Holy Spirit is not going to tell somebody to take a 2-month-old baby, throw them against the wall, and then kick them like a soccer ball. That is not how it works. That's not how it ever worked in Scripture. That's not biblical. That, how is that peace or love or goodness or kindness or self-control, or how does make that make sense? Make that make sense. Could you imagine the men of the Bible promoting those who spread lies about God? Just imagine that. That is reprehensible. Michael Brown also says that Benny Hinn, who is a heretic and a false teacher, who takes money in the name of God for his own profit, is a brother in Christ. He says Todd White, with his leg-lengthening trick, is a brother. These people are deeply rooted in false teaching, teaching that Jesus gave up his divinity on earth, in one case, that he was not God on earth, he was just man, and in the other, that God is a trinity in a trinity, so he is really nine gods. That's something that Benny Hinn has said. At what point can you say somebody's not a brother in Christ if you can't say Benny Hinn isn't a brother in Christ, or Kenneth Copeland? How do you do any rebuking? How do you correct anybody? I mean, what is your standard at that point? They teach a different gospel, a different Jesus. He's friends with them. He sticks up for them and vouches for them. He tells people that they are wrong and are dividing the body to even question his friends. Yet the Bible says the division occurs by the one who is speaking falsely about the word. So the people who are speaking falsely about the word, and that's you, Dr. Michael Brown. If you're listening, that is you. You are in that because you are speaking wrongly. You are twisting his word, and you're standing up for heretics. Dr. Michael Brown knows the truth well enough to debate and yet endorses heresy and those who spread it. He's part of unbiblical and spiritually damaging practices as well as a spiritually damaging movement. He's in bed with some terrible charlatans, false teachers, heretics. He endorses them, vouches for them, promotes them, and angrily shouts down anybody who dares question if they're godly or their practices are good or wrong, or questions their practices at all. There is a lot more that could be said, but if you can't see the problem, I don't know what to tell you. I would say, I pray that you go and you look for yourself. I pray that your eyes and your ears are opened enough that when you listen or you see things, that your ears perk up and you go, and you start looking into it and weigh what is good and bad. You know, see who you're going to follow. Follow people who aren't tainted. You know, I don't know why people think that there's going to be so many people who are good and sound. That's not what the Bible says. The path is narrow and few will find it. So I'm not sure why we think there's going to be so many good biblical teachers out there. Knowing it's narrow means that the Christian music is going to be a narrow margin. You know, there's going to be a lot of false stuff out there. The teachers, there's going to be a lot of heresy and a lot of wolves out there, and we need to be careful. 26 out of the 27 books in the New Testament directly talks about false teachers and false apostles and false prophets and holding true to the word of God and knowing scripture and standing up for it and refuting things that come against the truth of God. God's word holds prime authority. That is our standard of prime authority. I hope the blinders come off of whoever needs it. And until next time, know truth, love truth, share truth, because Jesus is the only truth. Be blessed.